Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 33 of Absolutely Intercultural, and thanks a million for tuning in again. In this episode, we take a look at a subject that not only brings millions of people together in peace and harmony, but which at the same time creates fractions and aggression all over the planet. We are going to talk about religion.
To do a show about religion was suggested by Irene Hansen, who left a comment on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com some weeks ago, where she also mentioned the Thésée community. Thésée is a community in France, but its members come from various different parts of the world. So the lifestyle in the community is at the same time religious and remarkably intercultural. Welcoming others has always been an essential part of life in Thésée. Week by week, throughout the year, young adults come from all over Europe, but also from other continents, and take part in meetings centered on inner life and human solidarity.
Well, we got in touch with Irene and arranged to meet her at the 5-day Protestant Church Congress in Cologne, Germany, which came to an end last Sunday, the 10th of June, with a service attended by over 100,000 participants from all over the world. And we've also taken a look over the pond. Our good friend Fernando moved from Spain to the USA a few months ago, and for our column Absolutely Abroad, he tells us about his observations regarding religion in general, and especially Catholicism in the United States. Fernando, welcome back to Absolutely Intercultural.
Hi, Absolutely Intercultural. I'm glad to talk about one of my absolutely favorite topics. When I came to the States a few months ago, I had in the back of my mind the impression that religion in the States was something closer to what Borat showed in his movie, something about big lights, big congregations, loud music. But I have realized that it's a very spiritual issue. In fact, it's a fundamental issue that defines American society, in my opinion. It is true that the profuse use of technology, especially in Protestant churches here in the States, makes going to church a completely different experience compared to Europe. At the same time, I feel that America is moving towards a different society than Europe. I feel that Europe is becoming more a laicist society, while America is keeping most of its religious values. One of the examples that comes to my mind when I'm thinking about religion here in the States is American candidates. I remember seeing a debate on television where one of the candidates said goodbye to the audience with "God bless America," and I think that defines the American society very well, where God is not mentioned at schools, but is very present in the society itself. In fact, I would say that part of the American society defines its vote based on religious and moral values, especially concerning issues like abortion or homosexual marriages. It has been especially interesting how American society looks at Catholics, especially compared to how the Spanish society does. In my opinion, most Americans look at Catholics as moderately liberal Christians. However, in Spain, they would be seen as the most traditional and conservative part of our society.
By the way, when we planned the show, we realized very quickly that we can't possibly cover every aspect of faith and every religion. So this episode focuses mainly on Protestant and Catholic Christians. But one of the virtues of religion is patience, isn't it? So please be patient with us. We will report more about religions in the future. And if you have any concrete ideas for us, then please don't hesitate to go to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and share your ideas with us and with your fellow listeners. So, Irene, what was your reason for suggesting to become absolutely religious?
Listening to the shows that Absolutely Intercultural has published up till now, I noticed that the big subject hasn't been mentioned yet. This topic is faith and trust. I don't want to talk about in which ways religions are different from one another. Faith can be something that brings people from different cultures and countries nearer to each other. Hope and trust can be shared. Opening ways of trust. This was the theme of a meeting led by Brother Alois from Tizi and several brothers in Brussels in January this year. He had been invited by the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Community. In the Cathedral of Brussels, Brother Alois said, "Let us leave behind our fears and our prejudices in order to go beyond walls of separation, national or denominational ones. Let us have the courage to go towards one another."
We sent out Anne Knopf and Gerion Reuter, two of our students here at Rhein-Ahr Campus, to meet Irene and to follow her for one day through the streets of Cologne. During this Congress, political and church leaders alike also focused on more worldly topics. Reinhard Höppner, for example, president of the German Protestant Church Congress, said, "The Protestant Church Congress demonstrated that spirituality and global responsibility belong together."
Speakers at the gathering, which included the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the German President Horst Köhler, and even Nobel Prize laureate Mohamed Yunus, focused not only on faith, but also on some of the same political issues that were discussed at the G8 summit that took place in Heiligendamm at the same time. Malcolm Damon from the Reformed Church in South Africa said,
"As a Christian, I sincerely believe that it's absolutely important that we are all involved in society."
You can hear more from him and other interesting opinions in a feature from the Deutsche Welle Radio if you go to their website and look for the podcast, which is called Correspondence Report.
Over 1 million people attended at least some of the 3,000 events offered at the Congress, including around 100,000 visitors from all over the world, who joined in for the entire 5 days. Hundreds of schools in Cologne were converted into hostels for 36,000 of the guests. The city said that the event went peacefully and the number of emergency incidences was unusually low.
But enough of the background information. Let's get right into the city and on the streets to Irene, Anne and Gerion for our column Absolutely Personal. They've interviewed quite a number of people about their wishes and dreams for the world, about their experiences at the Church Congress and about their visits to the TZ community in France.
It was quite a good experience for me to get to know people from other countries and to get to know their cultures. We spoke quite a lot about our experience in our countries. We didn't talk so much about our wishes or our dreams, so I can't say so much about that.
It was much more daily life?
Yeah. I mean, we had our little groups where we talked about different topics.
Was English the lingua franca for you to speak, or did you speak another language with the people you met?
Mostly English.
Do you think it was an experience that made you feel afraid, or rather hopefully for the future of the world?
Oh, definitely hopefully for the future of the world, yeah. It's just a form of coming together like in a religious way, which I can very much attach to. It's like I really feel the spirit there of God, which really changed my life.
I met people from I think it was Tunisia or Morocco, which was really a very interesting experience, because for them the prayers were not that important. Or I also met people who said, "I don't believe at all, but I came here to meet the people."
Yeah.
Lots of people, really.
Yeah.
And I share your view that it makes you more hopefully for...
Definitely.
That it could be different. We don't have to draw borders between each other, but can rather try something different.
Yeah. We really felt like belonging together.
That part of a family?
Yeah, I would say so. It was just this feeling of unity there, and it didn't matter where you came from.
Well, a very important experience was to meet people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And to see that we all have different talents, and it's very nice to bring all these talents together and then see that we can live together as one in this world.
So you would choose working in Tizi? What did you do?
A lot, almost everything.
Just tell us what you did.
Okay,
cleaning? Waking people who slept in the church?
No, I didn't work in the church, but I worked in the in Point 5 for the cleaning, and I worked in the kitchen cooking over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Cleaning the dormitories for the adults a lot. Working in Alabiot,
mm-hmm.
In Kadol with the tents, and in the welcome in the office with the inscriptions. A lot.
Why did you choose working?
Oh, because it's always great to come in contact with the people and to, just to do something together.
Is cooking with so many different people a challenging thing to do, or is it rather recipe is fixed and is done in just that way?
Well, the recipe is fixed, but it's still very challenging because you have to you work with people, so it's different every week. You have to see which language they speak, what they can do, how old they are, just how the group is. And so it's different every week, and your whole week it can depend on the team you have, if it's a good team or a bad team. But you have to take the people as they are and make the best out of it.
Hello, what's your name?
My name is Ruud.
Which experiences have you made when you met other people? Were there wishes and dreams for you in the world that you could share with others?
Oh, it's complicated to start. My experience with religion and the links to people that gives us very much linked to Tézé. I was in Tézé permanent for 8 months or something. And it was already that living together in a group of other volunteers from other countries, other continents, which gives you a lot because you learn a lot. I was living together with two Philippine girls, I think, in a room for a while. And it's just something very, very special for me that you cannot experience in your home parish because simply those people are not there. So there's a lot to learn about how they live their faith, what they do, how's the situation in their country. And the other thing which is important for me was the preparation of the meeting in Zagreb. I was 4 months in Zagreb preparing that meeting. And of course, I mean, it was something very, very strange to go to a city, to a country where you don't speak a word of the language. Really nothing. It was my first contact to Slavic languages. When I arrived, I could not even, buy a bread or say hello to someone. And it was amazing how much people were willing to open themselves when they saw why you came or how you came, what was the reason for yourself.
How did you communicate?
Oh, the Croatian young people speak very well English, and after 2 months or something, I started to speak a little bit of Croatian.
I met a Croatian girl this morning. She went on the Fronleichnamsprozession. And she was all dressed up, and I said, "Why are you dressed up?" And what? And she said, "I represent Croatia." She was, I think, maybe 12 or 14. It was really nice.
I mean, church is very important for them because it's also what kind of defines their nationality. Because if you hear a Serb or Croat speaking, you can hardly hear where he's coming from, but you can say, "Okay, he's an Orthodox or he's a Catholic," and that's what mostly defines their nationality for them.
Mm-hmm. Did you experience meetings between Croatians and Serbs?
I had a beautiful situation in one of my parishes. I helped to prepare some of the parishes. And after the meeting, I must start before I was quite shocked when I heard for the first time from the preparation team, okay, everybody can come, but we cannot welcome Serbs. Not because of us, but because no host family will want them. And after the meeting, I went to a meeting in one of the parishes, and there was a man saying, okay, I wanted to welcome Serbs because I thought it was time. And he had two girls, and these two girls had been very, very excited about going to Croatia, and the parents had been very scared to send their children there. And then they thought, okay, maybe if they're in a school with a lot of others, it's not such a big problem, but then they were in a host family. And afterwards, the man said it was so important, and we talked so much. And 2 days after the girls arrived back home, it was the parents of those two Serbian girls calling him, saying thank you for welcoming our kids in Croatia, because they had never expected something like this to happen.
That's a nice experience. It's hope for the world, really, after that horrible war in Europe. which we hope will never come back again. I helped with a meeting in London many years ago, and it was a very queer situation because I went to London being a Catholic, preparing the meeting and visiting English denomination. And when I went to a Catholic church, the priest seemed to believe that nobody would appear for the prayer at the 1st of January, because he said everybody will have a big party for New Year's Eve, so they won't turn up. And I think we made him the wonder of the world, because the church, as you can imagine, was packed. That was really nice.
There was many priests in Zagreb very surprised about those midnight prayers. During those European meetings, there's one prayer on the 31st of December at 11 o'clock, finishing at New Year. And many of the priests said that they would never have expected anybody to come, and not so many people. So afterwards, maybe they want to keep on doing this because it was kind of connection through the whole city, the whole area even.
Do you think there's a difference? You yourself, you're Catholic?
Or I'm Catholic.
Do you think there is a difference in meeting Protestants or Orthodox people or people from other religions?
I sometimes have the feeling that we know more about someone who is Jewish or Muslim or I don't know what than about, I don't know, Protestant or an Orthodox. Our team in Zagreb, we were 9 people preparing mainly the parishes. We were mixed like Catholic, Protestant, Polish Catholic, Orthodox, and even someone who was not baptized. So it was also very interesting to experience how the different people see their own situation in the life of their church.
I had a very similar experience when I was in Tizi for the first time. I met somebody who was from the south of Germany and a Protestant, and he said, I never thought I could speak properly with a Catholic because they worship Virgin Mary. What's that good for? And we had long talks about that, what that was good for, and I think we came to tolerate each other very well, and we were good friends and met each other afterwards, and it was really a great, great experience.
Thanks for the exciting insights. We should give a huge group applause to Irene Hansen for her enthusiasm and her contributions to our podcast, and of course to Anne Knopf and Gerion Reuter for giving her the support and assistance. But of course, we haven't been the only podcasters at the Protestant Church Congress. The Deutsche Welle Radio, for example, has created a fantastic feature about the event that will provide you with even more eyewitness reports and thoughts about faith and its position in the world. So we recommend to you to go to their website and listen to more reports like this one.
Deutsche Welle correspondents report on top stories from around the world from a European perspective.
This year, the Church Congress welcomed a delegation of over 100 Christians from Kenya. Peter is a minister for the Anglican Church there. His first impressions of Germany?
The place is quite good, very clean. The environment is very nice, and people look very friendly.
And it was not hard to find guests from other African countries as well. Malcolm Damon belongs to the Reformed Church in South Africa.
My expectations is to learn in the first place. I'm here to experience how do the people in Germany give expression to what they believe in this different format.
But Damon's mission here is more than just religious. He is director of the Fellowship of Christian Councils in Southern Africa, a Christian umbrella group that promotes economic advancement in the region. Damon is also here to network.
I can never, as a Christian, separate what I believe from the economic, political issues. That's why I work with this organization, Economic Justice Network. And as a Christian, I sincerely believe that it's absolutely important that we are all involved in society.
Many have traveled great distances in order to take part in the festivities here. And some have come from parts of the world where one might be surprised to find a Christian presence. China, for example. The Reverend Dr. Cao Shengjie is president of the China Christian Council and pastor of the Grace Church in Shanghai. Her group has distributed 43 million copies of the Bible in China since 1980, she boasts.
But it seems that not many Christians and people outside of China know that. So we would like to welcome all those who attend the Christian Talk to come to our Bible Ministry exhibition and to know something about the church life in China.
Asked whether it was easy to be a Christian in China, a country often accused of human rights abuses, Sheng Jie said,
"Yes, yes, we enjoy religious freedom and no any restriction if you want to become a Christian or you believe in other faith. That's just your own personal choice."
Alex Baxt, Deutsche Welle Radio.
And we have a very useful piece of advice for our absolutely lifelong column today. Watch out for international conventions, exhibitions, fairs, or anything that brings people from other countries to your city. At these events, it's usually very easy to get in contact with interesting people and learn more about their culture and, of course, their language. Irene, Anne and Gerion tried it out and met many people who were willing to speak to them.
While these three were out in Cologne interviewing Protestants, I was on an excursion in London, and as I knew that our next show was about religion, I could not escape some marketing campaigns for religion which seemed interculturally interesting to me, because we would not really see such displays in a busy street in Germany. First, I met some street preachers at Victoria Station who were using a megaphone to draw bypassers' attention to the importance of God in their lives. In their bright yellow flyer, the group of preachers say, "We are normal people from normal backgrounds who have discovered the claims of Jesus Christ in the Bible to be true. We gladly pray for you, and your life will be changed by the love and the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to do a miracle in your situation. God bless you."
God. You know, and then the first two things which Paul said, "Who are you, Lord? What is my role in your kingdom today? Do you know him today? Are you being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit?" You see, I meet many people. Most people I meet, they tend to say to me, "Oh, I know who God is." It's all right to know who God is. But do you have a personal and intimate relationship with God this afternoon? Are you doing things your way this afternoon? Or are you doing things God's way this afternoon? You see, there is only one way. One way you could do it is God's way this afternoon. There is no other way apart from God. You know, are you seeking him this afternoon? Are you putting God first this afternoon? You know, the greatest commandment God gave is to love him, people. To love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength this afternoon. And the second greatest gift is to love your neighbor as thyself.
Then, on my way back to the hotel, I met another group of religious people. Believers of the Hare Krishna movement, originally brought over to Europe from India. Like the street preachers earlier, these believers were out in the street to reach out to passers-by and attract them to their religious beliefs.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasari Gaura.
I'm afraid we've already come to the end of episode 33 of Absolutely Intercultural. Of course, you can find more information on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. There you can also leave a comment and get in touch with us and with your fellow listeners. The next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 29th of June. Until then,
stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.